The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome to the second hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And this morning on the line is Michael Malpezzi, the Artificial Reef Coordinator for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Fishing, and Boating Services. We'll get to Michael in just a second, but to take care of some business from the last hour, I want to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. That's right, located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If there's anything you could need, want, or imagine for fishing or crabbing, Clyde's has it. They have all the crab traps, the stackable open-top crab traps. They have trot lines ready to go. They've got all the frozen bait, all the bait you need for crabbing. They've got the bait bags. They've got the steamers. They've got the seasoning. They've got the nets. They've got the anything for crabbing. Fishing, same way. Any type of fishing you want to do. Trolling for a big trophy rock or, you know, bucktails or whatever you want to do with that. Largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, trout, panfish, perch. You can find it all. Bottom fishing, you can find it all right there, Clyde Sports Shop. And we like to talk about them. Good sponsor, good pokes. They've been in business 60 years this year. So, let's all get together in the rain and hire a bus and go down to Clyde Sports Shop and see what they've got. 410-242-6108, or the fishing hotline is 410-247-3474, Clyde's Sports Shop. Now, let us talk to Michael Malpezzi. How are you, Mike?
Hi, pretty good.
Good. So, you've been sending me some stuff here and telling me about all the latest reefs that have been built, not only in the bay but elsewhere. Tell us a little bit about the reef programs. Were you on last time?
I was on last time. I was on about a year ago.
Yeah, I think about March or so. Yeah.
Well,
since then, in the past year, tell us about some updates on the reef program.
Well, so we've built a number of reefs, all at existing sites, but most of our sites are very large, say like 50 acres.
Right.
And we don't actually have, you know, concrete material, you know, jam-packed in all 50 acres. It's kind of, you know, spots within that area.
Right.
So I'm looking at a map for reference right now, and just going north to south, we placed between, I think it was about 100 reef balls at the Memorial Stadium Reef, which is off in sort of like the Rock Hall, Tolchester kind of area. And then going down to Love Point, we had actually 5 different placements at Love Point at our site just north of Kent Island.
Right.
That's one of our more busy sites because it's close to the Patapsco in Baltimore, so we get a lot of material donated from contractors there. So off the top of my head, probably between 2,000 and 3,000 tons of concrete material. Everything from just a couple weeks ago, we placed some road slabs from an overpass, an 895 overpass just south of Baltimore that they're redoing. Some road barriers, kind of like Jersey barrier type things. We put there, and then some concrete rubble from a couple projects, near the Dundalk Marine Terminal. They're redoing one of the piers there, and some other stuff at Love Point a lot as well. Love Point gets a lot of love from the reef standpoint. then going down south, our Tillman Island reef site, which is just a couple miles south of Poplar Island and obviously just off of Tillman Island, sort of, north of the mouth of the Chop Tank. We placed in a partnership with CCA Maryland, mm-hmm. and actually Carroll County Public Schools.
Really?
So Carroll County, this is actually a really cool program.
All right, let's hear a little bit about that.
Carroll County Public Schools has a program where they're, I forget the name of it, but their vocational kind of training program. They have like a masonry and concrete type unit. And one of the things they do to learn about concrete is they make reef balls. So they have a few molds. For anyone that doesn't know what a reef ball is, if you live in the Chesapeake Bay region, you may have seen one or seen a picture of one. It looks like a little, almost like a little igloo or dome made out of concrete with a bunch of holes in it. We make them on purpose, and they have a lot, really high surface area and a lot of nooks and crannies for fish to hide in.
Right, fish and fish food and everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me of a song, the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out.
Exactly. The worms play pinochle in your snout.
In your snout, that's right.
They crank them out during the school year there, and then we have some volunteers with CCA that transport them to CBF's oyster facility in Shadyside.
Right.
CBF dips them in a settling tank with some oyster spat. So they get or oyster larvae, and then they settle onto the reef balls. So then when we plant them, they're already pre-seeded with spat. And we placed 70 last summer at our Tillman Island site, kind of in a line,
right.
Going east to west on the very southern edge of that site. And that's something we did it last year. We had 70. I just talked to the volunteer we have sort of coordinating it this year, and it's going to be between 100 and 200 that we'll be deploying, possibly within the next few weeks. So end of May, early June.
Should make fishing off of Tillman pretty productive.
I hope so. And we even got some video from some volunteer divers at that site. Showing the reef balls that we placed there last year, and the oysters are growing pretty well on them.
Good.
And
now, let me ask you, interrupt here for a second, if you don't mind. You say the concrete reef balls are made at Carroll County.
Yep.
In Carroll County School.
Mm-hmm.
They're transported to CBF, Chesapeake Bay Foundation. They put them in water and add oyster larva.
Correct.
The oyster larva attaches to the reef ball.
Yes.
Now, when they are transported, do they have to be transported wet?
So from Shadyside, when we go out to deploy them.
Yeah.
So they're mature enough. They're about 2 weeks old.
Okay.
They're like the size of like your pinky nail.
Yeah.
So apparently they're, we like hose them down. Once it takes a few hours to load them. So
right.
You load them on the deck of the boat. And then they hose them down
right.
With like a seawater, like a
tank
hose from the.
Okay.
And they just kind of keep them
viable, so to speak. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it was a nice day, but it was a little hazy, so they didn't get like the full. I think it was in late June that we did it, so they didn't get the full like June sun blasting down.
Uh-huh.
But that is an issue. I know they do some deployments further afield, like further south. Out of that site, and it's a little bit more of an issue.
Yeah, a little tricky. A little tricky to keep the oyster alive, I would think.
So. Yeah, but they are. They're intertidal oysters, so they're the species is adapted to being out of the water for
low tide and so forth. Sure, I got it.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty cool though.
But
pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It works pretty well.
Yeah.
And then at that Tillman site, there's also some really large, massive like concrete blocks that were put there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say about a decade ago, like in the mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Those are viable fishing sites that are well known and fished on, which is a great thing. But the Love Point thing is also fascinating too, because that's going to hold fish there. I mean, you know, Love Point, trolling Love Point in spring trophy season, and that's one thing. But, you know, you get into the later season where you're doing some topwater fishing over those reefs. I mean, reefs, I would think that would be just a spectacular type of fishing there.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it. One of our volunteers that works on our committee has, he mentioned last year catching some sea trout there over the reef. And yeah, it's a pretty, usually when we do deployments, I try to do them, you know, during in the middle of the week. A, so I don't have to work on the weekend, and B, so it's, you know, less crowded and we're not, you know, we're disturbing fewer people when we actually do the deployment. And there's, even, you know, on a random Wednesday, there's a decent number of, I see a decent number of folks out there.
Right.
A lot of the time. So yeah, I like to think it's a pretty good spot.
Uh-huh. That's good.
And it certainly, you know, and it certainly holds perch, you know, pretty well. So if you, usually if you're fishing for perch, a lot of times it's a plan B or whatever, you know, but,
yeah.
But it's, but you know, if you're going out there and nothing else is biting, you can all, you know, it's a good way to, you know, have some fun, especially if you're out with kids or something, you know. It's a good way to, you know, put some fish in the cooler.
Yep. Got it. Very nice.
Yeah,
okay, so I interrupted you there on the reef ball thing on Tillman. So continue, sir, please.
So we had reef balls at Tillman. I'm looking further south. Our Plum Point site.
Yeah.
It's actually a really large site. About half of our total acreage of artificial reefs in the bay is this one Plum Point site, running kind of north and south off of Calvert County. So Exelon had a few, they were redoing a dock and pier and at the nuclear power plant. It was all outside the fence. It was
radioactive.
Well, yeah, it was well away.
No three-eyed fish coming off the reef, right?
Yeah, but just, you know, in the part of the facility there.
Right.
So they were redoing a pier, and they generated some material from that. So we had a contractor place that at the Plum Point site, which was just about, about 2 miles southeast of Breezy Point Marina. That's where we took the crew boat out of Breezy Point, and it was about, I think, 2 miles.
Okay.
The spot. So we placed that. Some really large steel, like corrugated steel baffle panels.
Ah, wow. Okay.
Probably about 20 feet long each, and about, maybe 7 or 8 feet wide.
Okay.
And the corrugations in them are about, maybe they're about a foot or 2 feet thick, sort of. So.
Wow.
They're really large. And we place them in two rows. Almost like fallen dominoes. So we place, you know, one down and then another down, overlapping it by about 30%.
Right.
And then they had some, and they're designed in a nice way so that they can't nest. You know, like
I see.
If you set one on top of another, they won't just
Okay.
They with crossbeams and stuff. They sit on top really nice with lots of space underneath, which we like for the fish. And then they had some concrete material as well, these big kind of H-shaped, like shaped like the letter H, concrete blocks that we then placed on top of the steel panels. The steel panels, actually, I think there were some pictures on Twitter that I sent our communications guys to put out. It was part of a breakwater, you know, so they were basically in the bay for, you know, their entire lifetime, maybe, I think, about 30 years. And they were just covered with, oysters. There were a bunch of oyster shells, but apparently the workers, when they took them out, cleaned the oysters off and took them home and ate them.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
In like barnacles, they had this really nice, you know, layer of like barnacles and mussels and oyster shell on them. So they were already sort of
ready to go,
free. Yeah, exactly. So that was really nice material. And the really, Exelon footed the bill for the whole thing. They were really, I got in contact with the guy there who really wanted to make it happen. And there were a bunch of people you know, at the plant there, you know, they're local and they want to, and they like to fish.
Right.
So he kind of worked it up the chain and found a little bit of money at the end of the year that they could use. And, they even paid for a survey of the site, which was really nice because they placed a lot of stuff at Plum Point in the mid 90s. But since then, I haven't been able to find any survey data of, you know, what happened to that material. So
right.
We were able to answer that question. And most of the material is still there. I was pretty happy to see. So it's a good, stable site. And so I hope that the most recent deployment, it won't, it won't sink in or silt over. Or anything.
That's good stuff.
A long time.
That's good stuff. Yep. Beautiful. Yeah. Well, hang on there, Michael. We have a little break to take here, and you know how that goes. We have to pay the bills, so I got to tell the folks about a couple of our sponsors, and one of them is Clyde Sports Shop, located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Let me talk about the services that Clyde's offers. They've been around for 60 years. This is their 60th anniversary. So rod and reel repair. The rod and reel cleaning, if you need that done. I've got a couple of old reels that Uncle Dale generously gave me out of his collection. They're being cleaned and modernized. Not modernized, but just cleaned up a little bit, getting the old gunk off of them. They're doing that. And I've had rod tips replaced. I've had guides replaced on the different rods. And they do a wonderful job on that kind of stuff. So if you need line on your reels, and everybody needs new line on their reels. I remember a couple years ago I was on a fishing trip and I couldn't keep a bass hook to save myself. The line kept breaking. Every time I set the hook, snap. I'm like, what's going on with this? Well, I hadn't used that rod in a couple of years, and the line had just, even though I kept it properly, the line just didn't hold up. And if you're in that position and you haven't changed your line in a year or two, it's time to do it. They'll spool your line for you. Just take your empty spools in there, and they'll put brand new line on it. Gunsmithing. They do all kinds of gun repairs, gunsmithing. They fix stuff. They clean stuff. I've taken my 1187 in there a couple times and had it cleaned, my 870, a couple other guns that take in there to have things done, and they're spectacular work on their gunsmithing. So, you know, all kinds of services, scope mounting and bore sighting. It's that time of year, you know. Hunting season's over. It's time to get your guns in. Don't wait till a week before the season. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number is 410-242-6108. And they also have a fishing hotline that's updated at least once a week. And that phone number is 410-247-3474. Easy way to remember it, 247-FISH. Gun owners, your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is celebrated at the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. It's where I shoot. Since 1944, the AGC on Marriottsville Road has brought shooters together in a safe and friendly environment to enjoy the various shooting sports and to help them become better shooters. Why not see what the AGC has to offer and then sign up? Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members? Mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coombs Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Baylinex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Back to Michael Malpezzi. We talked a little bit about locations north and south, Michael, and tell us a little bit more about the Memorial Stadium, Bill Huppert's Reef again.
So that's a stadium, that's a reef that's partially made out of an old stadium. So when they demolished Memorial Stadium back in the day, they placed some of the material at this reef site. It's about it's closer to the eastern shore, out of Rock Hall.
Okay.
If you just Google Maryland artificial reefs,
right,
you'll get to the MARI website.
MARI and all the Maryland Artificial Reef Initiative. Yep.
Correct. Thank you. And you can find all the locations
for
the reef there. But they received some Memorial Stadium material, and it's a pretty small site. It was originally, I believe, 1 acre, which,
okay,
you know, when you're out, it sounds big, but when you're out on the water on a boat, 1 acre is really small.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending on the size of your boat, it's really just, it's a few boat lengths, really. they then extended the site. It's now about 2.5 acres, since like the 2000s, Bill Huppert, he's a volunteer with MSSA, like the Perry Hall chapter,
mm-hmm,
especially with MSSA. He's been coordinating a bunch of people building reef balls, just volunteers, all sorts of people. So they build them, and then he kind of collects them and places them on Memorial Stadium. And since I've come on, we placed them last year. They've been doing it every year, every May, as close to May 11th as we can, every year for, I think, about 4 or 5 years. And then before then, there were a few more sporadic deployments as well. So there's...
Why May 11th?
Story. I think it works out with CBS schedule, I guess.
I
guess that's like early in the season for them, so it's
okay,
kind of the first thing,
mm-hmm,
they do. Yeah. But anyway, there's about 1,500 reef balls on this site, which if you go to a 2.5 acre site and put 1,500, you know, these reef balls that are, you know,
right,
like a couple feet tall and a couple feet wide, they're jammed in there pretty
yeah,
well. So it's pretty dense. It's a good site that a lot of fishermen, like when I go out to fishing shows and stuff, they'll,
mm-hmm,
say, you know, I went out to, you know, XYZ site and I poked around on my depth finder and it's a 100 acre site and there's only material in a few spots.
Right.
You know, and they have to search around for it. This is not one of those sites. Like if you go to the site on the chart, it's
jam packed, huh?
They show up.
Got it.
Yeah. And it's also, it's one of our few sites that's still marked. That's another common request that we get, is that we mark them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do it anymore because there's an expense associated with marking them, with keeping the buoys, and also the buoys get moved in the upper bay. They, you know, if there's ice, they can get dragged.
Sure.
And nowadays, with GPS being so prevalent, it's just the need for them isn't as great.
Right.
But Memorial Stadium does have a buoy. Although, like I mentioned with the ice, I do know that the buoy does get moved. So especially if you go out there early in the season, it will likely be maybe in the vicinity of the reef, but not right on it.
I got it.
Apparently, there's like some volunteers or some kind of unofficial volunteers will sometimes, some years, like basically move it back to where it belongs. But it's an easy one to catch, and it's really popular with people in like the Baltimore area. They can just zip right across the bay. And it holds, it's excellent white perch fishing. So I mentioned earlier, a lot of times, you know, fishing for white perch is a plan B. But we have a pretty dedicated group of guys that really loves catching perch. And it's something that I've realized, we have a volunteer angler survey there, so I can actually have some data of, you know, fish that people catch and what they catch there. And it seems like if you're a really good perch fisherman, like you can go out and catch, a bunch of 6-7 inch perch. But if you're really good, you know, I always assumed it was just random getting like the big ones.
Right.
And there are some guys that just pull out, you know, like 10 inch perch from there.
Nice.
Maybe not one after the other, but they, you know, they know what they're doing, and they can, you know, they get them a lot, basically a lot more often than I do. But yeah, the reef there, it performs really well. And it's just a really good example of a site with a lot of reef balls. And again, they've been placing them there since, say for about 15 years.
Yeah, that's, it's a well established.
Mature.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
And it's in about, roughly about 13 feet of water. So where the reef balls are, probably around 11 feet, you know, over the reef balls, which is that's the minimum that we're allowed with our permit that we have from the Corps of Engineers. So we need to keep.
Oh, you need you need to get them down there a little bit deeper water so that it's not a navigational hazard. Sure, sure.
That's
a question people are going to have. You know, well, am I going to ruin my prop if I run through this area or something like that, or damage the bottom of my boat? And you know, you guys take care not to make sure that doesn't happen. And I'm guessing that's at low tide.
That's at mean low water. Yeah.
Okay. So you still got 11 feet. You got to have them at least 11 feet.
Yeah, and that's
above the ball, above the reef.
Correct. And Memorial Stadium is one of our more shallow reefs. So most of the other sites we have,
right,
it's 15 feet. So yeah. There's a couple notable exceptions, but they're Point Lookout down near the Potomac River, that site is around a fishing pier, or it's like adjacent to a fishing pier at the park down there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really close to shore. So there are, I think it's 6 feet or so is the limit there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's obvious. If you were out on a boat in the area, it would be obvious that it's an area you shouldn't go to because it's right next to a fishing pier.
Sure. Sure.
But yeah, 15 feet in the bay.
Interesting little side note here. I've been around a long time, and was going through my pictures not that long ago, looking for a picture of Ron Franks, who was the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources under the Ehrlich administration, who also is my fiance's father.
Oh.
Yeah. So I found a picture of Ron with Dick Franchot from Annapolis at the, why can't I say the name of his restaurant down there? But that was the first organized MARI meeting where the funding had been approved, and that was the project, I guess Marty Gary was involved back in the day. That was a project where they were utilizing the Woodrow Wilson Bridge.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
The representatives were there from, you know, there were lawmakers there. There were DNR people there. There were CCA was there. MSSA was there, I believe. And, you know, the whole upper cadre of folks, and I happened to be there taking some pictures and hanging out as part of the, quote, press crew at the time. But it was a very cool event, you know, watching some of the old videos of, you know, the one of the first reefs that had been placed and some of the material there from the Woodrow Wilson Bridge and the funding and all that whole mechanism, how that came about. But that's how far back I go. A little bit further than that, actually. But, you know, when I moved to Maryland, I moved here in 83. I think that was the same year I started a fishing magazine here called Fish Finder. And that was the same year the Rockfish ban went into effect for 5 years.
So, oh, no.
Yeah. Timing is everything, isn't it? ran into Governor Schaefer at the state fair one day and had the tape recorder, and I said, Governor, I think, you know, are you sure you want to, you know, lift this rockfish ban? I'm not sure the fishermen are going to be happy. You know, what and he's just like, I don't care, you know. And I said, okay, whatever. So it was I've been around a long time, but yeah, I remember that Mary meeting back then, and it's, you guys have come just eons from there as far as the reef ball placement and all these materials. Tell us a little bit about the Tangier Sound site, if you would.
Yeah, so that's our southernmost site,
right?
And it's obviously down in Tangier Sound, right near the it's about, I think it's about 200 feet even from the Virginia border,
right?
Down there. So we it's one of our more, well, since it's so far south, it gets, you know, there are, you know, a few species that are more common there that you don't get, you know, up further. And there's a lot of, like, soft coral and kind of stuff that grows on the hard substrate there as well. That's pretty neat. So we volunteer, again, with CCA. Up near Frederick, he talked to a guy who worked at a concrete precast company. They make, you know, like culvert,
sure,
and pipe and that kind of stuff. And they had just a whole bunch of, you know, basically seconds in their yard. So they, you know, they cast something and there's a crack in it or whatever, and they can,
right,
use it, and it just sits in their yard. And apparently every concrete precast company has, you know, like a boneyard that just has all this stuff in it.
Sure.
As, you know, just sits there.
I'm thinking maybe burial vaults might be another source for you.
Oh, actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah, burial
vault. I never thought of it.
Well,
my dad's a funeral director, so I...
Yeah, there you go. Burial vaults.
Septic tanks.
Precast septic tanks. The highway barriers once a project is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whatever they call those annoying things. Jersey walls. Thank you,
Jersey,
there, Chris.
Yeah, Jersey bears, Jersey walls.
Yeah, so, you know, there's all kinds of stuff out there.
Yeah, but so this volunteer,
yeah,
convinced, and again, so, you know, fishermen working at the company and everything, and it was Rinker Materials, and they're all the way up in Frederick.
Right.
So he said, the volunteer came to me and he said, hey, man, like, I have these pictures of this material. You think we could place it somewhere? And I kind of said, well, you know, Frederick, it's pretty far, and that's one of the large, you know, one of the big costs is, you know, is transport. You know, it's basically all the costs are transport, you know, either,
sure,
either on land or on the water. So, you know, I said, well, it's kind of far to get from there to, you know, a staging area or a contractor's yard that's on the water. He's like, well, let me, like, work things over with him. So he calls me back and he said, yep, they'll truck it for free.
Nice.
Said, yeah. So they were really in it. So they donated the time.
Wonderful.
They trucked the material to, our contractor's yard, down in, not Shady Side, Galesville.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they barged it down to Tangier Sound, and it was a lot of really large culvert pipe. The largest piece was, I'm just a hair over 6 feet tall.
Right.
And if I stood inside and raised my arm, like, I couldn't reach the top of the pipe. You know, if I was inside it, it was probably 8 or 9 feet, you know, internal diameter.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really big. And then a lot of smaller pieces too, like 18-inch internal diameter type pieces. So really a wide variety, but that's kind of the scale of the material. We had about 400 tons of it, probably, I'd say maybe about 50 to 60 actual pieces.
Nice.
And then we planted that down at the Tangier Sound site, so that, well, in kind of a variety of configurations, but mostly so that the when the current flows, it'll flow through the pipes. But they're not, you know, aligned super carefully. Like some amount of randomness is
right,
desirable
sure.
in these projects, so that it kind of mimics nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, so yeah, we placed that. That was in February, and I haven't had, I don't have any video or anything yet of you know, what's happened there since then.
Right.
But I'm hopeful to hear some fishing reports on it.
Cool.
And that material, the site is a triangle. It's the only triangular site we have, and it's pretty close to dead center in the triangle. So it's, and I believe it's in, the water depth was right around 30 feet, so it might have been a little more.
Got it.
30 feet. But again, these pieces are pretty big, some of them. So, I mean, we weren't approaching the 15-foot clearance mark at all, but there's a really, it'll show up like a beacon on a depth finder, I guess.
Cool. Very nice. Sure. Well, yeah, of course.
From
yeah.
30 feet up to 20 feet, you know, it's readily visible.
Got it. Well, there's all kinds. Yeah, I was in Crisfield the other day, and in some stores down there, and there's pictures of, you know, giant red drum these guys caught back in the day, and I mean, you know, it's a world source for sea trout and everything else. I mean,
right.
it's just, you know, there's great fishing down there, great fishing. So,
yeah.
Cobia, you name it. So there'll be some fish on that structure, that's for sure. So
yeah, I'm hoping, and yeah. We kind of purposefully chose to do it at Tangier Sound. Once when the company agreed to transport it, you know, over land for free, we thought, well, we should kind of take advantage of it. We're basically getting a big price break on this project by having them do that for free, so we should, you know, place it maybe someplace far away. And because Tangier Sound, you know, it's so far south, and it's hard to you know, it's a long way from Baltimore.
Oh yeah, sure.
Sound, so it doesn't get as much, you know, as much love as some of the other sites. So we decided that this was a good opportunity to put some pretty interesting material there.
Got it.
Yeah, hopefully it'll work pretty well.
Cool.
The other material there was actually was Woodrow Wilson Bridge material.
Right. Got
it. That was the last concrete that was placed there.
Cool.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because I don't know if you're aware of the plans to redo the 301 bridge over the Potomac.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's, I've never driven over the bridge, but apparently it's a harrowing experience.
Yeah, it's not very much fun.
Really,
trust me, it's not. Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of want to go over it before they take it down, just so I can. But anyway, their plans to, it's very, they're in the very early stages.
Yeah, we came over
the
that thing.
Announced plans to replace it.
Cool.
And we're pretty hopeful that we'll be able to use the material from that to place on reef.
Wonderful. All right, hang on. Break time.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on a little bit. All right, folks, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about Papa John's Farm. Now, you all know Mother's Day is tomorrow. If you don't know, let me be the first to tell you. It's Mother's Day tomorrow. Mom likes plants and flowers. Well, where do you get plants and flowers? It's going to be a nice day. Take her to Papa John's, right off I-97. Papa John's greenhouses have gorgeous plants and flowers and everything. Annuals by the pack or by the flat, and perennials by the pot. Bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets. They've got the soil if you need it. Colorful pansies and patience, petunias, and just hundreds of varieties of flowers. And they carry the proven winter specialty plants also, too, as well. Papa John's Farm has all the vegetables ready to plant in your home garden. Tomatoes and squash and onions, watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers, herbs. It's all there. Wears me out just talking about it. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You get off I-97 on 12 towards, you know, New Cut Road. There it is. Bingo. You'll see the warehouses, I mean the greenhouses. You'll see the everything right there. Drive right to the greenhouses, make your selection, or you can call them ahead of time. 410-969-5909. Flowers and plants from Papa John's for your garden or church. Mother's Day coming soon. I think I mentioned it. It's tomorrow. Take Mom down to Papa John's. Buy her $100 worth of flowers. She'll love you. 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
WCBM Baltimore.
Rain for us today, but better weather ahead for Mother's Day. Rain this morning, tapering into a few showers for us this afternoon. Breezy at times. Winds out of the north-northeast between about 10 and 20 miles per hour. Temperatures well below average today. Highs only in the mid-50s. Decreasing clouds tonight, mid-40s. Mother's Day, mix of clouds and sun and warmer temperatures tomorrow afternoon into low 70s. Sunny and low 70s Monday, sunny and upper 70s Tuesday. I'm Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Linex. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but has some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. Now, I don't go through the fast food or the chain store drive-through when I'm on Route 50 heading to the marsh or going fishing. Oh, no, I'm patient, but my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of Rise Up coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery, and from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch, too. Dave and Gina Levy, your hosts, are trained chefs and strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think Big Donut. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery, and be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see me there. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
I listened to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up to the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly
Hills, that is. Yeah. down by the cement pond. We're back with Michael Malpezzi. Michael, good morning again.
Good morning.
Yeah, Michael is the artificial reef coordinator with the Fishing and Boating Services, Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Consented to join us again from wherever you're traveling today, and I appreciate you calling in on that. We are rapidly wrapping things up here, and we've got another break to take. So any parting thoughts on referring people to the website or the anglers participation survey and all that? What do you got for that stuff for the listeners?
The easiest thing to do is go to our website, and that has the locations of all the reefs and just information on the program in general. And the easiest way to get, I could read out like a
dirty
thing, just Google Maryland artificial reefs, and it's the first thing that pops up. I think it's the first three things that pop up are all Maryland artificial reefs. So it has the one really useful feature is as like an interactive map, sort of like a Google Earth style zoomable map.
Right.
That has all the sites on it and coordinates, or has like a center point coordinate, and then there will be a little description of the type of material that's been placed at the site. Sometimes also like a sort of qualitative description of where the material will be, you know, so it usually doesn't have a precise location of go
right.
point, and there will be, but it'll say, you know, most material in the southeast corner.
Right. And you got the charts, the coordinates, the whole deal there, a PDF of everything you want to find. Even got Easy Rider on there with a little video, too.
Yeah.
And you know Easy, I'm sure.
Oh, Easy Rider. I'm familiar with the Henry Fonda.
No, Eric Slokovich.
Oh! yeah, I didn't get your reference.
That's all right.
There is a little video of him at the ASMFP.
Yeah, exactly.
Meeting. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I just did it on my phone under Google. I did MD artificial reef, and boom, everything popped up, and you go right there, and you get all the PDFs of everything, whatever you want to see, you know, an interactive map and all that stuff. So it's all good on
there.
So.
And don't be shy if anyone has, and you know, either an idea of something you want, you know, hey, I know of, you know, I know this guy that has a bunch of concrete.
Burial vaults.
Or just, you know, even, you know, like, hey, I live near this artificial reef and it used to be productive, but it's not anymore. Is there anything you can do?
I got it. Freshen it up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, I love getting input from the public. And there's also information on our meetings, our committee meetings,
right,
to the public. And we just had our spring meeting in March, but our next one will be sometime in October. So yeah, the public's welcome to come to those.
Okay,
and, cool. They're pretty low key meetings.
Doesn't sound like a very controversial subject.
Correct.
Unlike oyster.
Exactly.
Stuff. Yeah.
So there are no heated debates really.
I can't imagine imagine a more interesting meeting than sitting around talking about artificial reefs. Hey, Michael, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with some parting shots, okay?
Sure.
All right. Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. I talked about the fishing, and I talked about the services and the crabbing. Firearms, folks, Browning Firearms. It's time to get that shotgun out and practice for the upcoming waterfowl season. Take it out to Sporting Clays Range. You can do that with a Browning, beautiful Browning Satori. They just got in a big supply of Dove and Clay loads. These prices are fantastic on these boxes of ammunition, 7.5 and 8. So stock up on a case for Dove season. If you like getting out to the range, go down and check it out. The prices are just, again, it's Browning ammunition called Dove and Clay. You'll like it. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108. Fishing Hotline 247-FISH. Gun owners, nearby the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore has a full-service facility and gun ranges that offer all you need to enjoy your firearms and to become a better shooter. The AGC on Marriottsville Road has a 50-yard handgun range, 100 and 200-yard multipurpose ranges, a trap range, and much more. It's where I shoot. No matter what you shoot, from rimfire to muzzleloader to hunting rifles and modern sporting rifles, the AGC offers it all. Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members, mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Crossing the highway late last night. It didn't look left and it didn't look right. Didn't see the station wagon car. Skunk got squashed and there you go.
A dead skunk in the middle of the road, and we got Michael Malpezzi on the line. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning. There's the music. Enjoyed the conversation as usual, and hopefully we'll get some guys out there on those reefs and catching some great fish off of them. Michael, hello.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. again, thanks for joining us, and we'll catch up with you next time.